It's time for spiritual renewal. It's time for revival. And it's time to get right with our Creator, the God of the universe. That's what time it is. It's time to serve Him more. It's time to admire Him more, adore Him more. It's time to abide in Him more fully. Isn't that right? It's just more than this daylight saving time. This is time to get it right. It's time to commit all our ways unto the Lord at all costs. That's what time it is.
Amen.
It's a real joy to see everyone today, and we're glad you're here, and we trust that you'll get a blessing from God's eternal word. The psalmist declared, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty God," Jehovah Jireh. And I want you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of the Acts, chapter 4, verses 8 through 20. And we're just going to share with you this morning on the subject, "In No One Else, Salvation in No One Else." And you know the rest of the statement. It's no one else but Jesus Christ that can save a sinner by the grace of God. Let us ask God to bless these few moments together. Father in heaven, we love you, Father, with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and all our might. And we would pray, Lord, that we would take you at your word, that you would take the word of God and that it would become more a part of our lives on a day-to-day commitment, on a day-to-day transaction as we study to show ourselves approved unto you, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And we would pray, Lord, that Holy Spirit would take charge these few moments and teach us and tell us the greatest story, comfort and for edification and to build us up to be in conformity of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Salvation is in no one else. We need to have the tenacity and the audacity to speak up for Christ without compromise as followers of Jesus. Certainly, if Christ is worth having, certainly he's worth sharing. And we shall see in this early apostle episode and narrative that they did not keep the message of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ a secret, like some people today. We seem to be ashamed of the gospel and the power of Jesus Christ in public. And it was some 50 days of the resurrection, after the resurrection, the first fruits of the day of Pentecost. Give you a little background what's transpiring here. And this was the conception of the church, beginning of the church era, and many persecutions and many oppositions was happening as these John and Peter and others was pioneering of the work of the new church of Jesus Christ, the revelation, sharing the revelation of Jesus Christ. And also, this was the beginning of Christendom. It meant that the Holy Spirit at that time had a very special and particular ministry of calling people, both Jews and Gentiles, incorporated into the body of Christ. And some 5,000 people came to the knowledge of Christ. Wouldn't that be nice today? We had standing room only here today.
Amen.
If it happened in Peter's day, thank you. We just waiting on the mighty wind to come, and it's going to come, folks.
No.
And they came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and the rulers of the elders and the high priests inquired, "What's going on, fellas? By what power, the audacity, and the name are you doing this?" People getting it right with God.
Telling the truth.
Telling the truth. The truth shall set you what? And that's what it was doing. That's what it was doing, friends. And so all those that live in Christ Jesus said what? Suffer persecution. That means you're doing something. And you're going against the grain. And you're causing havoc in the name of Jesus Christ. So listen to the narrative here in verse 8, please, of Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel." So we see something here that Peter have the boldness of this verse. When you and I, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, friends, we can supersede beyond our wildest dream of imagination, because it is God, and what we say becomes the center of God's will in our lives. We face opposition sometimes, don't we? But yet we have the empowerment and the source that is needed at our fingertips. And we can, along with the prophet Zechariah, and it would be not by mere might of our energy, nor by power. But Zechariah said, "But my spirit saith the Lord." That's where our sufficiency in Christ will come in. So we see, for by one spirit we are all are baptized into the body of Christ, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we all have been made to drink into one spirit. And that is a one-time baptism, one time, as you ask Christ into your life and be your Lord and Savior, you are automatically baptized once and for all into the body of Jesus Christ. So in this message, we see there are three antagonistic enemies of the good news, the gospel of the divine Son of God that was against these Pharisees and Sadducees and these leaders and elders of the church. We shall see. The Pharisees, there were the scholars, the theologians. The Sadducees, of course, and the council of the Sanhedrin. They were in Jesus' day in the shadow of the cross, and they had a lot of backlash that they was infiltrating against the for the cause of Jesus Christ. Here in this newly found church with the apostles in the outbreak of persecution is happening, and at this event today, at that day, the Sadducees, we have the spirit of that even today, because we have a lot of religion sects that deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you don't have that component, I don't even say that you're a Christian. So this sect of religion deny the resurrection of Christ that makes them so dangerous, because Jesus predicted in the gospel that to his disciples that you will be hated, you will be insulted, and you will be rejected. And Christ furthermore comfort us in Luke chapter 6 verse 22, blessed are you when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man, for the Son of Man's sake. Jesus made that prediction that was going to happen. So we see here Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit, and in verse 9, if this day be examined of good deeds done in this impotent man, by what means he is made whole. These radical religious people, they had a problem of this grown man, probably 40 shares that he was probably about 40, 42 years old. And God performed a miracle in his life. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and others, they couldn't get over it. Get over with it. It's a miracle. Go ahead. So Luke, which wrote Acts here, the occasion here, Luke's recorded a speech by Peter that was to glorify Christ, whom his enemies had just recently, you know, a month or two ago, crucified Christ, but whom God, on the contrast, have raised. And they couldn't get over with it. They had a problem with it. Thank you. It didn't happen every day. So the exalted Christ had poured out the Spirit, healed a crippled man from birth. He was crippled from birth. And it was demonstrating the power of Jesus Christ to the crowds that they should repent. And that's a foreign word today, isn't it? We don't want to hear the word repent because it sounds too much like hell and brimstone. So this Peter's first sermon here in Acts, the history here in verse 2. Take a listen to Acts 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know. Him being delivered by determinate counsel and foreknowledge of the God ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain Christ. I'm paraphrasing here now. Whom God have raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. He released it the chains of sin and the power of sin, and they couldn't get over with. Here was a man that was miraculously touched and started walking and jumping and praising God. Was that your encounter when you got saved? What happened to your joy? Why are you not jumping and shouting? Well, you say you're saved. Here it is in black and white. It's nothing wrong with being a little emotionalism. And we do it at football games, don't we? Basketball games and everything. What's the wrong with the joy of the Lord is your salvation and expressing it sometimes. I mean, you know, being under control, though. Don't get carried away on this. And they asked, by what power, by what means, by what name, in verse 9, you're doing this? And what authority? Who give you the audacity to do something like this, to heal this man? Took him by his right hand. If this day be examined, he said, of good deeds done to the impotent man, by what means he have made me, let me get it right, what means he is made whole. The rulers wanted to know the apostles' power. Sinners want to know where we get our strength and our power from today. And this is the prime time we could do it. When we live a godly life and we can show where our power and our strength is coming from. It's coming from the Lord. And they was proclaiming, they was just proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And these aristocrats put these apostles in jail overnight. The gospel became the gospel because, but many who heard the message, believed, and the number of men was growing daily for the cause of Christ. And he was telling these people, you are the people that killed Jesus Christ. So the next day, there was about one member of the Sanhedrin. And they met and presided elders and had a meeting, they doing a lot of talking and excused the apostles and everything. And what are we going to do here? We got a problem with these people. You know, when you start living something, people have a problem with you. I remember when I was, I'd be working and I noticed there's a group of people, unsaved mostly and everything. They get with their people and stuff. And they know that you don't do what they do, and they got a problem with you. And so they brought the member, the congregating themselves and others, and the congregation, and to make Jesus, to give them an unfair trial. That's what was going to happen. But Peter freshly was filled with the Holy Spirit, and these people, Peter goes out in detail in verse 9, 10, and 11. And the rulers and the elders of the people, if they are being called to account for today's act of kindness, and they were trying to find out, why is this crippled, and what acceptable about this? Why are you healing? Where are you getting your authority? God had raised from the dead that this man stands before you and is healed. What is all this about? Look at verse 10. Be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you. Verse 11, this is the stone which was set close of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. They did not have no respect for the builder. And the builder was whom? It was Jesus Christ. It became a stumbling block for them. And all unsaved people, the gospel is an offense to them. And it's become a stumbling block to them. Instead of a cornerstone, instead of joining the prophets and joining the apostles and joining the body of Christ, the builders of Christ, which is Christ is the head of the church. And the healing of the cripple is a picture of salvation. That is the symbol. We were crippled. We was like sinking sand. And the need of all of us, sin has crippled us. It has distorted us. And can you testify with me today? He came to set the captive free. And he does the same thing today. He comes to set the captive free. And Christ is the cornerstone of the church of Jesus Christ, friends. He is the rock of all ages. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I think Matthew's account of this thought, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, or ecclesia, or the called out ones. We are called out from the world. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That's the power that they had. That's the phenomenon that they was using against these wicked rulers. They had the law, but they didn't understand the law. They was religious, but they didn't have a relationship with God. And we have that problem today, even up in the church. This verse 12, so Peter is emphatically saying and giving a reason of their inquiry in verse 12. And you know the verse. He's saying in that breath here in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, Sadducees and Sanhedrins. There is no other way to heaven given unto among men whereby we must be saved. And this is what we need to tell the world, our neighbors, our friends today, that there's no other avenues, Muhammad and all the rest, Buddhas, Confucianism and all the rest. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the preaching of the cross is foolish to the world, isn't it? We want to buy our way to heaven. You can't do it. Salvation is not for sale. Verse 13, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, the boldness, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had, now listen to this, that they had been with Jesus. Is it obvious and evident in your life and my life that we've been with Jesus? There's how many minutes and hours in a day? How many hours in a day? Well, we need to spend some of that time with Jesus so people can detect that we've been with Jesus. Just a little talk with Jesus, make it right. You know, remember that little old song? Make it right. Spend a little time with Jesus. We spend a time on our, I ain't got my cell phone. Somebody told me the time exactly the average American spent on a cell phone. I forgot. But it's enormous. But what about devotion time with our Savior that people can detect that they have been with Jesus? Now, I want you to know that I spent some time with Jesus this morning, but it should have been more. It should be so obvious in our lives that we've been spending time with Jesus so we can have an impact like they had an impact, these apostles, to these religious people. But the apostles' reply was, I'm jumping ahead of myself here. They give an explanation why they was with Jesus. Look at verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. The truth is the truth. And when they commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For they indeed, a notable miracle has been done in them, manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Undeniable when you live for Jesus Christ and when you give out the word of God. It is the word of God, Brother Hollier, speak for itself.
Empty tomb.
Okay. Now let's look at verse 17. But it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man this name. What I'm saying is they was trying to shut them down. And they have done that greatly across America. They have shut us down. They took prayer and the Bible out of the schools, haven't they? Thank you. We took it out of our schools, took it out of our homes, and now we got the audacity to take it out of our churches. And they called them, verse 18, and they called them and command them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And the same today, settledly. Don't speak Jesus. You can speak other religions, but don't. Christianity is blaspheming, they say. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, more unto God judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's familiar. The things they have seen with Jesus Christ and that they heard from the lips of the Savior. In closing, the leaders saw with their own eyes the standing miracle of the ex-crippled man and could not deny it. But on the other hand, they must stop this thing from spreading any further among themselves, shutting Christianity down. Can't do it. You can arrest them, but you cannot arrest the gospel. Because it's the Spirit of God is invisible and it's empowerment. But the apostle relied that it's better to hearken to God than to those leaders. We cannot help but not be quiet about Jesus Christ because we have seen and heard him with our own body, in our own bodies. So-called politically correct humanism and liberals and the critics of secularization in our world and many other sources is antagonistic and against the teaching of Jesus Christ today. But we must remember Daniel had a non-compromising way of telling his culture that's unacceptable. And with that evil king, you remember, Daniel took a stand, and in essence, he was saying, it is better to obey God than man. And this is what we need to do today, Christian friends. We must take a stand for the cause of Jesus Christ. Because we have the power and the authority of God's word, and we can do all things through Christ with strength, not in our own might, but by his power and by his strength. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that there's something special about that name, Jesus Christ. And we need to be equipped today from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and all his fallen demons. And we need to take the word of God at face value, because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, purging and piercing the divine heart of wickedness and hate and discourse and all the rest. And we thank you, Father, that ultimately we are more than conquerors to him that loved us and gave himself for it. And thank you, Father, for dying and you was bruised for our iniquities, and the sins, our sins was laid upon your cross, Father, for our justification and our redemption as a sacrifice, the sacrifice of atonement on Calvary's cross. And we pray, Father, today that as we proclaim this news like Peter and John did, that others will see the light of the world and that they come running and ask, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name, for his name's sake, amen and amen.